Welcome to the Feel Great Podcast. This is Matthew Collinson.
And this is Alan Francis. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Feel Great Podcast, everybody. My name is Matthew Collinson, and this is my great friend,
Alan Francis. And remember, with the right daily habits, even you can feel great.
Today, we have a very special guest on. He's one of my great friends. I've considered him also one of my mentors, and we've worked together on a couple projects now, and this is really fun to play. So I'm excited that he's coming on to introduce how people can find their authentic soul self and grow from that place once they've learned that really internal game. So thank you for coming on with us, Andrew. Would you like to introduce yourself a little bit and give us a little bit about where you're coming from?
Sure. I'm Andrew Schultz, and I have been a teacher, a trainer, and a student of the self-help industry for about 50 years. And people say to me, 50 years? And I say, yep, 50 years. I'm 72 years old, and I'm still learning every day. I'm learning from people like Alan and my friend Matthew, and obviously we're part of a gigantic mastermind group that is amazing. But I love to learn and love to teach. But about 3 or 4 years ago, Matthew, I retired from my corporate training position, and I took an RV, went across the country, and then I did all that retirement stuff. And I said to my wife said to me one day, "You're not really happy." And I said, "What do you mean I'm not happy? I'm happy." And she said, "No, you're not happy. If you're not teaching, you're not thriving, and you need to be teaching something." And I started thinking about, at this point in my life, what do I want to share? What do I want to teach? What do I want to learn? So I personally started on a path in down the road of the Enneagram. Are you guys familiar with Enneagram?
Yes, but why don't you go ahead and give us a definition for people who don't know?
Enneagram is it's a spiritual journey into the soul of yourself. Enneagram is like teaching yourself about the parts of yourself and the parts of your personality. And I immediately, like everything I do, once I go down that path of knowledge and wisdom, I dive in with all of the energy that I can put into it. My dad says it's either all or nothing. You don't do something halfway. And I've done that my whole life. So I went into the Enneagram and went on websites, and I've got a dozen books behind me, and took a class with Russ Hudson, who is the founder of the Enneagram Institute. And I learned so much about myself. And then immediately I wanted to start teaching it. And Russ Hudson said to me, "Andrew, that's not something that you teach. It's something that you learn." And I went, "Wow, something that I learned." He said, "Yeah." He said, "The whole reason for the Enneagram tool is so that you can learn more about yourself." So I started thinking about wisdom and knowledge and what's the difference. And then I start thinking about who am I, and what do I want to do? And then I start thinking about, do people really like the truth? No, they don't. So in my life, I've been somebody that has been a person that tells people the truth, sometimes a little too bluntly, sometimes maybe without that person really wanting to know the truth. Now that I'm a little wiser, if you might say, I ask people, do you really want to know? Because we don't tell ourselves the truth. And what I mean by that is, if we grew up on the West Coast, we have a certain set of values. If we grew up in Australia, we might have a certain set of values and ethics and morals and training and wisdom and knowledge. But how much do we really look at in the mirror? How do we look at that man in the mirror? How do we look at that person and get into our own heart and get out of our head. Because in our head is the information that's been taught to us. But in our heart, that's where the truth lies. See, the soul loves the truth. The ego hates the truth. The ego hates the truth. I remember Jeffrey Gittemore was doing a class. Jeffrey Gittemore wrote the Sales Bible, and he said he was in front of about 500 salespeople, and he said, none of you are as good as a five-year-old when it comes to selling.
So true.
And I said, you know, we're all like, what are you talking about? Five-year-olds can't sell. They sell better than you do. A five-year-old that wants a candy bar in a candy store will use every tactic known to man to get that candy bar. He'll overcome every objection. He'll use every piece of knowledge and wisdom that he has. He'll cry. He'll throw a temper tantrum. He'll use tactics that, well, my dad would give it to me. He'll use so many different tactics. He only has one focus. That's the candy bar, right? So when you look at that, that five-year-old also has the knowledge base and wisdom that they're utilizing without interference. As we get older, we start using other people's wisdom, other people's knowledge, and other people's facts. Well, look at the media. I mean, pick a side. Are you on left wing or right wing? I mean, my goodness, we're so divided. And I say to people, what do you think? I say to my grandsons all the time, don't let somebody else's opinion be your actions. Don't let someone else's opinion become your actions. Put your actions into the test of your heart, not your head. Because my good friend Joe Dispenza says we have 60,000 thoughts a day. How many of them are the same as they were yesterday and today?
Like 90% or 90 something percent.
Very good. Very good. About 95%. So I asked somebody that this the past week, and they said about 30%. And I went, wow, you think, huh? They said, well, what is it? I said about 90%, 95%. So what is that telling us? That we live in our heads. We don't live in our feelings. We don't live in our heart. We don't. So my grandfather told me one time, Andrew, people really don't change unless there's a significant emotional event. And I'll say, well, what's a significant emotional event, Grandpa? He said, well, it could be the death of a friend. It could be a divorce. It could be a marriage. It could be a new job, a new beginning. It could be an automobile accident. It could be an accident where you fell down the steps. It's a significant emotional event in your life that kind of wakes you up out of your sleep, your walking sleep. He used to say people walk around, they're asleep.
Yeah. It brings you into the moment, essentially. It brings you into this is now. And yeah. This is how it's possible, or things change. Like you're for like sure, right? Instantaneous thing.
Take a dip in the ocean in January when it's 30 degrees. You'll feel alive. Trust me. That's a significant emotional event. You get into that ice cold water, it wakes you up and you feel alive, right? So those significant emotional events, they're the ones that touch our heart and soul. You know, I say to people sometimes, you know, when you hear people complaining, you know, and we all, you know, hear people, they complain and they moan, and then you say to them, well, what do you want? Oh, no, no, whoa. Don't ask me what I want. Well, you're complaining that this is not right. That's not right. This is not right. So, but what do you want? Well, I don't know. You know, you get that a lot. You know, people say to me in life coaching, I do a lot of life coaching and mentoring, and I'll say to people, why did you call me? What do you want? Well, I want to become financially healthy. And usually we start with finances, right? Everybody wants that magic pill of, if I have enough money, my life is going to be great. No, it's not. Actually, the more money you have, sometimes the more complicated your life becomes.
Yeah, I heard it amplifies people more, or it amplifies whatever your core being.
That's so true. If you're not well read, $5 million is not going to make you well read. You know, if you don't have a soul conscience, money's not going to give you a soul conscience.
So how do you start bringing a person out of their head and into their heart, Andrew?
Great question. I love that question. Sometimes I'll just ask them to close their eyes and take some deep cleansing breaths. And what I'm trying to do is get them out of their head and just get them into focusing on their breathing and stay in the now, because this is all we have. But there's one thing that I do, Matthew, before I even coach a person, before I even agree to mentor, coach, or take a person down the authentic soul path, is I find out if they're ready, willing, and able. Because not everybody is ready, not everybody is willing, and certainly not everybody is able to. So you might say, well, that sounds a little complicated. It is. If somebody it says to me, oh, I really want to know more about myself, and then I get into a conversation, well, what do you know now? Have you ever done a personality test? Have you ever sat down and journaled? What do you know now? So I start with what do you know now? And are you willing to be open-minded? Alan, I'm sure in your work, you've met people that are closed-minded, right?
Oh, every day, all day. Yes.
Every day, all day. And you have too, Matthew. You meet people that you know they're closed-minded. They're closed-minded to what, you know, they're in that fixed mindset, not a growth mindset. Yep. Well, how do you know? And I don't work with people without seeing them. I have to see them. If we get on a Zoom call and the person says, no, I'm just going to listen, I'm not going to bring the camera on, not on my call. And you know that, Matthew, from working with me. There's no way that you're going to get on a call with me and your camera is going to be off. I need to see you. I need to see your energy. I need to see your body language. And I need to see how you're reacting. People say one thing, but their body language always shows another thing. So if they're closed-minded, if they're not willing to grow, if they're not willing to listen, if they're not willing to really understand the difference between their ego, and that's your question, how do you take somebody, right? Rephrase your question one more time for me.
No worries. How do you get somebody or begin to process somebody getting out of their head into their heart?
Right. So the first step is, are they willing and able? Now let's say, yes, you are willing and able. And you check that box. Then I say to people, do you understand the difference between the ego and your soul or your heart? And people will say, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what is ego? Is ego good or bad? Most people will say they think I'm trying to lead them down the ego of ego is bad. Ego is not bad. Ego can be good, right? But ego is what's in our heads. Ego is fed by certain senses. Like if we hear a siren, right? Then immediately we hear that siren, we think, oh, what's wrong? What happened, right? Well, 10,000 years ago, our brains were, you know, dinosaurs were chasing us. And if we heard the dinosaur roar, we knew what that was, and we ran. Well, the ego was preserving us. The ego was getting us out of danger, right? And then when we felt safe, and we started breathing and we knew we were out of danger, and maybe somebody in the cave came over and put an arm around us and said, it's okay, you're going to be safe, it's okay. Maybe it was our father or grandfather. Then we start feeling. So when you stop thinking and you start feeling, that's when you get out of your head into your heart-centered self. Did that answer the question?
Yeah, I think so, man. That's I love the feeling piece too. Like I can, like I got goosebumps right there. So that was, I felt it. That's kind of when I know I feel something. So while a person is getting into that heart space, how do they release that ego, I guess? How do they let it go for now so that they can get into that just feeling space?
Daily practice. Daily practice of gratitude. Daily practice of breathing. Daily practice of identifying some of the egocentric, or identifying some of the things they don't want. You know, it's funny because when I say to people, what do you want? Nine times out of 10, people don't know. Then I say, well, what don't you want? Let's start there. Oh, that list gets big real fast. People can fill off that list of 100 things they don't want. Well, isn't it the opposite? A lot of times it is. You know, I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want somebody that's negative. I don't, you know, I don't want. Okay, what do you want?
Right. You so, say the opposite.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
A lot of times, yeah.
But when you, the soul, like I said before, the soul loves the truth. The ego hates the truth. In Jeffrey Gittermore's workshop, he said the thing that the five-year-old, look at any five-year-old, and I love kids because their brains are not conditioned yet. Like little Johnny will say to his mother, Aunt Sally's fat. Oh, you can't say that. Well, what do you mean? She's fat. No, Johnny, you can't say that she's fat. Well, Mom, isn't she fat? Yes, she is. But you can't say that out loud. You're hurt her feelings. Well, I don't know. Maybe her feelings need to be hurt. And then now even me saying that, you're like, what do you mean? You can't hurt somebody's feelings, but to save their life, you can. Is it good to be fat? I don't know. And then we go through this whole entire debate of, you know, well, it's not, just coming from somebody that spent most of his life being obese, it's not good. There's no upside to that. So when little Johnny says, you know, and Sally's fat, and the mother looks and says, oh, no, Johnny, don't say that. Well, what should I say? Well, pick something nice about Aunt Sally. Well, I like Aunt Sally's hair. It's very nice. Well, then say something nice about it. So then we go down the path of the soul loves the truth, but we don't speak the truth because we want something in return. And then when we want something in return, that's the old adage of salespeople. They'll tell you anything you want to hear as long as they can make a sale.
Yeah, I know we were just talking about that too. It's what you're focusing on. And when you say, like little Johnny says that, but that's true though. The hair, then if you're focused on the hair's a beautiful thing. You got beautiful hair. Whatever we focus on most of the time is what we are going to end up seeing and being. So when you say, let's start with gratitude instead, what are you thankful for that person? What do you like about that person? What do you love about that person? That's getting it into that energy of that heart space, I feel. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. But where we separate with the soul loves the truth because the soul loves the beauty of the truth. The beauty of the truth. You've known me for a few years. Am I blatantly honest?
Yeah, I think that's where you and I have a reflection.
Right. Am I brave?
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, I've known you for about 10 minutes and I can see you're brutally honest and you're pretty brave.
Well, and so what you're picking up on, Alan, is my vibrational energy of my soul.
Yes.
What you're picking up on is my conviction in my voice.
Yes. Yes.
I used to go to a flip chart and I used to say in college, I used to teach a sales communication course. And the sales communication course that I taught in college was understanding the difference between somebody that is saying no and somebody that is saying no. And then somebody that's saying, no. I said no three different ways. It had three different, completely different meanings. That's based on a body of work that was done. How do we communicate? 7% is words, 23% is tone, and the rest is body language. So if we look at the words don't mean anything. Your tone and how you say things, that's when we start communicating. Now we put the tone, the hearing, with the visualization, and now we're picking up 93% of communication. 93%. So the damn words that you're speaking mean very little. That's where the soul love. The soul reads the truth. The soul sees it. The soul knows, right? Listen, I don't want to take it to love, but I will. The soul knows. When I first met my second wife, did I love my first wife? Of course I did. But I loved my first wife with the eyes and the ears and the heart of somebody that was 19.
One of the greatest gifts we have been given in this human experience is to collaborate with others. What happens when there is a subject we don't know about? We do research and begin to take action. To cut learning time in half, wouldn't it be nice if there was a place to go chock full of experts? Now there is, a buffet of coaches and teachers. Click on the link in the description to join Alan and I in this community full of heart-centered people.
Now, when I saw my second wife when I was 35, that was double the years almost. So I had twice the wisdom, twice the experience, twice the knowledge, and it was I came from a completely different, but the soul knew when I saw her that that's somebody that I want to get to know. And then she spoke. And then she moved. And that communicated different things to me. And like I said, the soul loves the truth. And then we go down a path of communication with one another. And then the soul really does know. Do we listen to our soul? Nope. We don't. Why is that? Because we have 60,000 thoughts a day that were the same as yesterday. The soul is competing against our own thoughts. Did you ever hear the expression, get out of your own way?
Yes.
That's where that comes from. Get out of your head. Get out of your head. Get into your heart and soul, and then you'll find the truth. When you really think about that for a second, get out of your head, get into your heart. And there's proven, there's a book around here somewhere, the vibrational energy has a proof. The vibrational heart energy has a Mother Teresa, Jesus, they had vibrational energies that were in the 950 out of 1,000, where some of the violent people or some of the people that were not of good vibrational energy had the vibrational energy of a 50. The average human being is around 300. So how do you go from 300 to 900? How do you triple your vibrational energy? To be present in the now, to be totally humble and grateful, to stay more focused on love and gratitude, And the big one that people don't get is service. Because if you go through my seven steps of authentic soul truth, the last step is serving yourself so that you can serve others. That's my seventh step. So now that you know yourself, and now that you know who you are, and you know some things about yourself, and you go from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, and you know the four parts of yourself, you know the difference between your head conscious, your subconscious, your heart, and then your soul wisdom. When you really get into your soul wisdom, your individual souls have been programmed with a wisdom. Call it what you want. I call it God, but you can call it whatever you want. But inside of you, very deep inside, buried in your heart, there is a wisdom and a knowledge and a knowing and a passion that align themselves. And sometimes on the sports field, you'll hear it known as he's in the zone. When that person is hitting those baskets, or that pitcher's throwing the 100 miles per hour, and he hits a target, and it's so hard to do at that speed, but yet he does it consistently. And people say, how's he doing that? Or an ice skating performer that spins around and jumps up in the air and lands on that thin 3/8 of an inch blade, or that skier that jumps up in the air and flips around and lands on his skis. These acts of courage and sports and all comes together, and we say we're wowed with it, right? Well, the human spirit is where that comes from. The soul and the spirit and the wisdom and the faith, that person has pushed fear away. They pushed it away. Does it come back? It comes back lightning fast. In fact, even when they're in their jump, and they've done it 100 times on that ski, that ski slope or that ice skating rink, that she jumps up in the air, does fear hit her? It does. They have the ability, as fast as it comes in their mind, they push it away. And they, where do they go? They go into their heart. They go into their feelings. They go into their soul. I know I can do this. I've done this. And yes, I nailed it. So that authentic gift. And when you study yourself and you study your soul and you study your authentic soul truth, and then you get your authentic soul purpose, and you put those two things together, now you start doing great things. But, and then you might start acquiring money, and you might start acquiring materialistic things. But the longevity of health is directly connected in the service of others. And when you start serving others and you start focusing on other people, that's when you're rewarded with your authentic health, your authentic soul health. Now, what is your authentic soul health? Well, there's a lot of people that are walking around very thin, but very unhealthy. There's a lot of people that are walking around very physically fit, very thin, but mentally unhealthy. Well, there's a lot of people walking around very physically fit, very mentally fit, very spiritually fit, but they're broken because their soul is not fit. So when your soul becomes as healthy as your physical, mental, spiritual oneness, that's when you've arrived. That's when you start reaching out to serve others. And that's when everything lightens up.
Does the healthy soul have to be complete before you go into service, or does service complete the healthy soul? Does that make sense?
That's a great question, Alan, and it can be both.
Okay.
It can be both. I think at times, do we have to be complete to serve others? No. The soul knows when to serve and how to serve. If your intention is to help people to get something in return, that's a broken soul.
Yes.
And the soul knows. The soul knows, why are you doing this? That's your conscience. Now, you can trick yourself in, and I spent 30 years teaching salespeople all over the country how to sell cars. And I used to say to them, how did it feel making that $12,000 deal on that guy last night? Felt great. We laid them out. I laid them out. I wonder if you sold that car to your grandfather, how would you feel? I would never do that. I said, why not? Why not? Well, hey, Andrew, there's nothing wrong with gross. I said, no, gross with honor is a great thing. Gross, making money like that is illegal, by the way. When you take advantage of somebody, that's not right. I've done it. I know. I know how it felt. So this is where the truth, the soul loves the truth. When you confess to your errors and you confess to your weaknesses, you're human. And the soul loves the truth. The soul loves when you do that. The soul loves when you're honest and you say, you know what? I've done that. It's kind of like language. I have a pet peeve with leaders or people that drop the F-bombs. And when you do that with me, I'm going to call you on it. Every single time. I'm going to say, whoa, time out here. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're up on the stage. I don't care if you're in a group of people. I'm going to call you on it. Have I ever used it? Absolutely. I have. I haven't in a lot of years. A lot of years. Do I ever slip every now and then? Like, bang my finger? Yeah, I might in the work shed. But you'll never see me use it from stage. You'll never see me use it on a podcast. You'll never see me use it with my grandchildren. You'll never see me ever use it because I think it's a weakness. I don't think it's a strength. And the soul, when you act, when you let your ego get in charge, and your ego, you just attended a Anthony Robbins seminar and he said it 17 times. So it's got to be okay. Or you went to, who's the other guy that uses it like clockwork?
Gary V.
Yeah, there you go. Gary V. Right? Gary V. The great Gary V. Right? Or Grant Cardone. Right? Or now Mel Robbins. Everybody, I love Mel Robbins, but every now and then she feels special. And to feel accepted, she's got to drop the F-bomb. And well, I say to myself, I don't want my granddaughter hearing that. Just don't. You know, so I think that's a weakness. And the soul knows. The soul really, really knows, right? I don't have all the answers. I think when you work with people, the only thing that you can do is ask the person, how does that feel to you? How do you feel when you use that? How do you feel when you're doing that, right? I played sports, and in sports, I knew that my 10-year-old son playing football, he was a really big kid. And I knew when he hit that other kid on the other side of the field, and the kid almost was knocked out, my son went down to pick him up. And when my son came off the field, the coaches were saying, great hit, Robert. Great hit. Way to go. Tears were running down his face. I knew that he'd never be a good football player because of that. But I knew that I loved him so much that day because he felt so much feelings because he almost hurt somebody. I said, what a great soul he's going to be. And he is. He's got a great soul.
Very empathetic.
Yeah, very empathetic. Now, does that mean that the football players that are out there hurting people don't have any empathy? No, they've conditioned themselves. They allowed their mind to condition themselves to perform in a certain way. Marcus Aurelius said it the best. To be in the arena competing like a gladiator is the only way that you can know what the gladiator goes through. So when your soul is in whatever situation it's in, it knows that it is either temporary or it's not. So that's how, Matthew, we get out of our head and into our heart when we start feeling, is this something that I really want to do?
That's so brilliant, though, man. It really is. And I'm geeking out on the Will Smith book right now, I know, but because I mentioned this last week, too, but this is a different part of it. He is known for not cussing in his music and that kind of thing.
Who's that?
Will Smith. He was like picked on essentially by his cohorts or the people also in that industry because he refused to cuss. He refused to put that into his music and that sort of thing, but he still stuck to it and it worked throughout his entire career of music that he was in. I think he still does stuff every once in a while, but it's just when you decide that, it's a brilliant decision and I admire it. I still don't do it, obviously. You know that. You've caught me before. So that's a fun piece of it, though. But that's part of growth as well. And I'm
okay. It is part of growth. Yeah. And so that's a great subject, too, because the power of the conscious and subconscious mind is so powerful that you have to say to yourself, wait a minute, did I just say that? Yeah, you did. And you don't even realize it because you're on autopilot. And we, most of us are on autopilot. What I try to do with the soul and the soul work is to take you out of autopilot and bring you back into your soul wisdom.
You're bringing your awareness
back into your authenticity.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I said to you, Alan, what is your biggest authentic value or virtue, or what is your biggest authentic wisdom that you've learned in your life? How would you answer that?
At the moment, don't take myself so seriously.
Okay. And expand on that a little bit. What happens when you take yourself so seriously?
What I'm talking about is like focusing on weaknesses, focusing on mistakes, and not being okay with it. Need to be okay with it because I'm human, and you know, humans make mistakes. Nobody's going to be perfect. So
okay. And do you focus on what you would like to change or how you would like to change that mistake into like a growth opportunity?
I do. Yes. Awesome. I kind of mentally go through a dialogue of, you know, what I would like to see happen, and you know how I can make that happen.
Let me take you from your head to your heart to your soul now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever written it down in a journal?
No.
Okay, so what I would challenge you to do is take a book and on the outside of that book, write Alan's soul feelings.
Okay.
And whenever you make a mistake or you did something that you're not happy with, write that down in your book and then write down how you're going to change that. And what are two or three of the things that you might do to change that?
Mm-hmm.
And every day, try, or every week, or how many times you do that. And then go back and look at what's happened, what you've changed, and how you've grown, and see if they reappear, because they will.
Okay.
They will. That's the beauty of journaling. The beauty of journaling is to get our thoughts out of our head so that we can visually see them and feel them. And when we do that, that's where the growth comes in. Otherwise, you're just going to be doing this. Oh, you know, I thought I did that. I did, but I didn't do anything about it. I'll get to that.
Right? I'm laughing because laughter comes from pain. I mean, laughter comes from truth. So that's kind of why I'm chuckling.
Sure. Yeah. The soul loves the truth.
Exactly.
And soul, what I call soul journaling, or if you guys have ever heard the wisdom of the Cherokee Indian, where he's walking with his grandson, and the grandson says, "Grandfather, I have a war going on inside my head." And the grandfather says, "Well, what is the war?" "Well, I have these two thoughts. One is, you know, fear, and the other one is love." And he says to his grandfather, "Grandfather, which one's going to win?" The grandfather says, "Whichever one you feed."
I love that one.
Right? So I'll take it one step further. When we take our thoughts that are 60,000 thoughts, we certainly can't write down 60,000. But what we can write down is the five thoughts today that caused us the most pain or caused us the most sorrow. But I want you to write down the five joys and watch what happens when we start writing down the things that we don't like and then we write down the things that we like. Your life starts taking on a little different meaning. Your life, because your soul's getting involved now. See, our soul doesn't have a clock. Our soul, our ego does. Our ego has a clock, but our soul really doesn't have a clock. Our soul is with us all the time. It's buried in our heart. So when we use our soul more and we make more decisions with our soul and we do our soul's work and we do God's work or we do our wisdom work, that's when our life gets better. 95% of the people hate their jobs. Why is that? I mean, it's very high. I don't know if it's 95%, but it's over 70. Why do people hate their jobs? Why aren't people doing what they love?
Exactly. Always my question.
Right? Yeah. Now, your career, you know, I do a life wheel with people after I take them through those seven steps. And in my life wheel, in the very center of that life wheel is you, your authentic soul truth. That's you in the center. And then all the way around that life wheel are 7 to 12 spokes. And they're the elements of your life, your children, your career, your service, whatever that wheel represents for you. But if the center of that, that's the heart, if that's not right, then the chances of you, you know, having a blended, balanced life of meaning and fulfillment are going to be less and less.
We're coming up to the end of this episode, guys. So I do challenge anyone listening to actually pull out a journal and start writing down those five joys for sure, as often Absolutely. As you can every day. Andrew, would you like to say any last words to the audience that listens to this?
I would say that you are so worth it. Your soul is so worth. Think about it this way. We unfortunately all have people in our lives that pass, that die. And when we go to their tombstone, what does it say? Well, it has a birth date, then it has a dash, and then it has a death date. I would say to people that dash in between the time you were born and the time you die is filled with meaning and purpose. And stop trying to make everyone else okay, make yourself okay, and live the life that you were designed to live. Don't live someone else's life. Don't sing someone else's song. Don't build someone else's house. Build your house, sing your song, live your life.
Boom. Thank you for joining us on Feel Great. This is Matthew Collinson.
And this is Alan Francis. Thank you, Andrew. And you're remember, welcome. Remember, with the right daily habits, even you can feel great.
This is Alan Francis. We just wanted to thank you guys for being here today. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button and share it with all your friends. Thank you.
Appreciate you guys. You join us later on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye now.
Bye now.